It's noontime in Atlanta, time once again for Radio Bible Study, brought to you by The Church of Christ in Embry Hills. Your speaker is David Tant, and we're continuing a discussion we began yesterday from James, the second chapter, verses 14 through 26, on the subject of faith and works. As we pointed out yesterday, there are so many who teach today that we're saved or we're justified by faith only, and the Bible says that is not so. In fact, verse 24 of James 2 says, "Ye see that by works a man is justified, and not only by faith." Let's read the whole context here again, because it's so important that we understand this. Verse 14 begins, "What doth it profit, my brethren, if a man say he hath faith, but have not works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and in lack of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Go in peace, be ye warmed and filled, and yet you give them not the things needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it have not works, is dead in itself. Yea, a man will say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith apart from thy works, and I by my works will show thee my faith. Thou believest that God is one? Thou doest well. The demons also believe and shudder. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith, apart from works, is barren? Was not Abraham our father justified by works, in that he offered up Isaac his son upon the altar? Thou seest that faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." And here's where we got in our study yesterday, talking about Abraham. And the point we made was that there are different kinds of works, just as there are different kinds of faith. There is an obedient faith, and there is a dead faith. The dead faith profits us nothing. Why, even the demons believe, but that does not prompt them to obey God. So without obedience, their faith is without value. There are different kinds of works. There are the works which merit or earn for us salvation. And the Bible says that, you know, no man can earn his salvation. But there then also are the works of faith, or the works of obedience. Now notice here, verse 21. "Was not Abraham our father justified by works, in that he offered up Isaac his son upon the altar?" All right, but Romans 4 says of the same incident that Abraham was justified by faith. What kind of a faith? An obedient faith. If Abraham had simply said, "I believe in God," but he had refused to obey God's command to take his son Isaac and offer him as a sacrifice, his faith would have been of no value. It would have profited him nothing. So we see in verse 24, "Ye see that by works a man is justified, and not only by faith." And somebody says, "Well, what about Ephesians, the second chapter?" Well, let's turn over there and see what Ephesians chapter 2 says. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. "For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, that no man should glory. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them." Right, now obviously we've got a problem here when a person says, and when a preacher teaches, and when a church creed states that we're saved by faith only. Faith only means only by faith. But don't you see, Ephesians 2 verse 8 here says we're also saved by grace. That's a part of our salvation. So we're saved then through faith, and that not of ourselves. You know, we haven't saved ourselves, and we have not worked or earned or merited our salvation. It's the gift of God, not of works, that no man should glory. Now then, you remember in the Old Testament the story of the taking of the city of Jericho. We see here a perfect example of the coupling of grace, faith, and obedience. And that's what we're talking about, putting it all together. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, is the great dissertation on faith. And we notice in here that it talks about this matter of the taking of Jericho. Chapter 11 of Hebrews, verse 30. It says that by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been compassed about for 7 days. Out in the Old Testament, where the story is first recounted, God said, "See, I have given into thy hand Jericho." All right, here is a gift. It is grace. They did not earn it. All right, there's the one ingredient. There's faith. There's grace. But now then, Hebrews 11 says that by faith the walls of Jericho fell down. God put some conditions upon his gift. He said they must have faith. But now, when did this faith bring them the city? It says there, after the walls had been compassed about for 7 days. You'll remember they had to march around the city for 7 days and then blow the trumpets and raise the cry, and the walls fell down flat. Now suppose that these people had said, "We believe in the grace of God, and we're just going to sit here and wait for the walls to fall down flat." And you know what had happened? As all these archaeologists around those places digging up cities, they'd find a whole ring of skeletons all around that city where those people sat and died waiting for God to give them something which they weren't willing to comply with. That is, in the instructions that he gave. By faith, we'll read the whole chapter of Hebrews 11. It talks about, Abel and Cain. It says, "By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice." What? By faith, he offered. By faith, he did something. Down in verse 7, "By faith, Noah, being warned of God concerning things not seen as yet, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house." What's that? He obeyed. Verse 8, "By faith, Abraham obeyed to go out unto a place that he was to receive for an inheritance. By faith, Sarah received power to conceive seed when she was past age. By faith, Abraham, being tried, offered up Isaac." You just go through the whole chapter, and it is a dissertation on the kind of faith that saves, and that is obedient faith. Now we can understand that. And we can understand the words of the Lord back in Hebrews, the 5th chapter, in verse 8. It says that though Jesus was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he came unto all them that obey him, the author of eternal salvation. Now we can understand that. We can understand that Noah could not have been saved if he had not obeyed. He had faith, and he had to obey. And those things, coupled with the grace of God, brought about his salvation and that of his family. We understand that. But then when somebody says that we must be baptized in order to be saved, all of a sudden people get excited and they start pulling out their hair and foaming at the mouth and say, we're not saved by works. What did Jesus say in Acts 2 and verse 38 through the Apostle Peter? He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, unto the remission of your sins." What were the words from Jesus' own mouth in Mark 16:16? Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." Now, do you remember we talked about the story of the cleansing of Naaman of his leprosy? God told him to go dip in the river Jordan 7 times and he would be cleansed. It was the grace of God that brought the cleansing to him, but his faith had to be coupled with his obedience before God put his grace upon him. In the same way, we're told that we must believe and that we must be baptized in water in order to receive the remission of our sins. We have not done that as a work deserving of forgiveness or cleansing, but it is simply a compliance on our part with God's requirements. And my friend, unless and until we're willing to do what God said, then we can't expect him to bless us. He said he would not. Could Naaman have expected to be cleansed before he washed in the river? No. Can we expect to be cleansed before we're washed in baptism? No. Saul of Tarsus was told in Acts 22:16, "Brother Saul, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Could Saul have expected to be cleansed, to be washed, before he was baptized? No. And I care not who tells you otherwise. The Word of God tells me this. Think about that, seriously. And join with us tomorrow as we continue our study from James chapter 2. This is a radio Bible study brought to you by the Church of Christ at Embry Hills. If you have questions, call us, 455-8412. And we hope that you'll tune in again tomorrow.